Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a
Elaine, are you still there?
Can't hear you, Elaine.
We gotcha. Hang on just one second, group. She's going to regroup herself and be right back with us. So hang on just a moment.
Well, I am back. I'm sorry. The call dropped, and I am back. So let me start again. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's day is Wednesday, May 29, 2019, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and there is the solution. We're on page 29. We're reading the first and second paragraph, beginning with further on clear-cut directions and ending with has actually happened in their lives. Today's readers are Liat T.D. for the 12 Steps, Freya H. for the 12 Traditions, Anita L. and P.S. Janice P.M. will greet our newcomers, and Reggie O. will have some announcements at the end of the meeting. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be Tuesday, May 28th, is 12962. That's 12,962. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting for Wednesday, May 29th, is 12965. That's 12,965. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. At a Vision for You, the Big Book, the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liat T.D. to please read the 12 steps.
Yes, hi, good morning. Liat T.D. from Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, perfect. Okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And thank you for letting me serve. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Liat T.D. And I will now ask Freya H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Freya H. in Colorado, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside of contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Freya H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 29, reading the first and second paragraphs, starting with further on. And I will now ask Anita L. to please begin reading.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recover. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. Okay, so if you could time me, I'd appreciate it, please. So what it says to me is that we have clear-cut directions. And, you know, being clear-cut, that's really specific. It will tell me exactly these first 164 pages plus the doctor's opinion will give me the directions to exactly what I need to do in order to become recovered. And I'm not going to become cured by this. You know, I will always have the disease of compulsive overeating. However, every morning I have the choice when I wake up whether or not to surrender on a daily basis over to my higher power, my will and my life, my food, my behaviors, my actions for the day, so that I can live in a recovered state of mind and be happy, joyous, and free. And I'm sorry about that. I hope my husband picks it up. it says that our personal stories are talked about in our own language. And that means that I am going to share my experience, strength, and hope, not what you've done, but what has worked for me, so that I can carry the message of what I was like before I came into program, and after working the steps, how my life has changed, and I now have a new design for living. And it's incredible that I can be neutral with the food. It's truly a miracle, and that comes in at step 10. So this is only happening because I've worked steps 1 through 9, and I have continually developed a new relationship with my higher power. And the reason why I say a new relationship is because at step 2, all I had to do was come to believe that there's something out there, something bigger than me, that can restore me to sanity with sane eating and living behaviors. And as I continue to work, I write my inventory, I share it with God and another human being. I don't have to keep those secrets anymore. I've let go of all the junk that's kept me from having this clear connection with my higher power. I've recognized my defects of character and humbly asked my higher power to take them. And then I've made my list from my 4-step inventory of people who I've harmed. Thank you. And I've made my amends. And as I begin making the amends, that's when step 10 promises me neutrality and all the beautiful gifts of the promises that my higher power has offered me come true. So with that, I pass. Thank you. It is a beautiful program, and keep coming back.
Thank you very much, Anita Al. Who'd like to comment on these paragraphs today?
Alicia S.
Wendy M.
Alicia S. Wendy M.
Sally P.
Ruth M.
One more.
Des M.
Des M. And I thought I heard one more name after.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. That's a great lineup. Thank you so much. This is what I have. If I made a mistake on the first initial of your last name, please correct me when it is your turn. So let's see. Oh, goodness. Even my own writing, I'm not sure. I think I have P.S., Alicia S., Wendy M., Sally P., Ruth M., Des M., and Kathleen O. And you're up first. Pia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And these paragraphs, they, to me, talk about the clear-cut direction. You know, now I, as a recovered person, I shared how I recovered, how I followed the clear-cut direction. And then I carry the message. I tell my story. I tell, you know, another suffering fellow how I stole and sneaked food, how I ate out of the garbage, and how I tried to exercise as much as I could to lose the weight, and how I went on all of these crazy diets and unhealthy medications, and how I ate so my skin was stretched and it hurt, and how I hated every part of who I was, and how I hated the world, and also how I isolated and didn't want to live. But then I share how I recovered, how I found this power that has helped me, not only to stop compulsively overeating, but it, you know, showed me how I could live a manageable life, and how to get this, I share how I now have a power in my life, and how I was able to to get to that power. And I still, you know, I still get angry and I still get hurt and I still get lonely and lost. But I have a power in my life now. I have a fellowship. I have these tools that I can use. So there's so much support out there that I can go to. My life now after having followed these clear-cut directions is just like more than I could ever imagine. So it's just amazing how this program works. And I encourage everyone that is suffering to try it out and see, just be open and try to see if it can work for you too, because I was in a very dark place and I'm not in that place anymore. So with that, I pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, Pia S. Alicia S., you're up next. And you'll be followed by Wendy M.
Hi, I'm Alicia S., compulsive overeater. The language here where it says from his own point of view, that echoes the language in the previous page where it says we have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. And then further down, we think it of no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. And I think there's real respect in the program for the different paths that everybody, you know, each individual is on their own path in search of spirituality. And it's really beautiful and very comforting. And I mean, even in the traditions, you know, there's mention that God is loving. And I think when we stop beating ourselves up and we pause and we take the time and effort to do the step 10s, we're closer to God. And so, I mean, what I'm finding is that with every step 10, I get out of my own head and I access the best part of myself. And that part is in alignment with God or higher power. And it's really an amazing thing. I'm relatively new. I've been doing it only a few months now, and it's really amazing. The other sentence that struck me was that where it talks about personal stories, I mean, I'm trying to call into meetings a lot more, and almost every time I call in, someone says something that really resonates with me, and it's amazing to me how honest and open and vulnerable people are when they tell their personal stories. I haven't had a chance yet to read, you know, the personal story, all the personal stories in the book and stuff. But when I'm on this phone line and I hear people's personal stories, it's incredibly inspiring. So thank you to everybody for sharing, because it really makes the meetings really, really helpful. I pass.
So true, Alicia S. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Sally P.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful to be on the line. Thank you for your service, everyone. So a couple things come to my mind. The first is clear-cut directions. And, you know, I don't follow directions because the rules don't apply to me. Gravity doesn't apply to me. Nothing applies to me. I've got my own clear-cut directions, but the problem with that is that I've been following those clear-cut directions for a long time, and it brings me misery. It brings me to a very desperate place. Thank God. Thank God my clear-cut directions do not work. And, you know, the only thing that's required of us is, you know, they say the only thing that changes in this program is everything, and everything is a clear-cut direction. And you know, I met someone a few years back, and I wanted what she had, and she said, you've got to do what I did, right? So self gets to get out of the way and simply follow the directions. My ideas aren't working, right? The problem is not my thighs. My problem is what's between my ears. It's my thinking. And so if I'm following my directions, I'm going to get nowhere very quickly. And God makes that possible. God makes it possible that I get so miserable with my clear-cut directions, Wendy's program, that I finally get out of the way. I finally got out of the way recently. And I said, how do you do it? And show me, and I will stop. You know, so we have to get out of self. And the other thing I want to say about God's relationship with God is that it doesn't work for me to say, do I believe in God, you know, or go to God. What works for me is I experience God. And what I mean by that is when I weigh and measure my food every day, pack it every day. So I've got my food. There's no surprises during the day. I've got my food weighed and measured. That's a spiritual experience. That advances my relationship with God. I always say God is a verb, right? I'm doing God. I'm experiencing God. I don't know if God exists, but I experience God all the time. Or if I pick up the phone and tell you the truth about a behavior that I'm ashamed of, that I've got secrets around, you know, leveling my pride, that's a spiritual experience, you know. When I pick up the phone and say, how can I be helpful to you, whoever you is out there, that is a spiritual experience. So these actions help me experience God consciousness. It helps me get to that place where God is cheering me on and saying, yes, you can do this. Get out of self today. Think of what you can do for another person, or tell the truth about something you've been lying about, or weigh and measure your food. It doesn't even matter. There's so many opportunities to experience God. And when I get closer to God, when I do those actions, right, my thinking immediately changes. And God, again, is in the background cheering me on and saying, yes, you get to experience me today. You know, and at the end of the day, rules do apply to me, it turns out. I am a compulsive overeater. I do have to weigh and measure my food. I get to weigh and measure my food today. I get to experience God today, and I get to get out of self today. And
gentle reminder.
Thank God I'm, yes, thank you so much, and everybody have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Wendy M. Sally P., you're up next, followed by Ruth M.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Sally P. calling from Colorado. I was really blessed because my first meeting at age 23, all they had was the big book. I mean, I don't even know if they had any OA pamphlets available at this meeting. And I got a big book, and I started reading the stories in the back. I didn't read the front. I started reading the stories in the back, and I could see myself. I had no problem replacing alcohol for food. And those stories gave me so much strength, you know, specific pages I would go back to over the years. And then I got away. I always had a big book, and I got away, and I started reading all these other spiritual books and bounced from food plant, sponsored myself for 20 years, and just really never got introduced to working the steps like the big books outlined until I kind of hit a new emotional bottom. I realized I was a dry drunk. I was living in some of the steps, but not all of the steps, and as a result, I was just still self-willed run riot. I had an idea and a plan for my life, and I was going to do it. You know, I tried to be courteous and sweet along the way, but it was still me running the show. And about 19 months ago, I just hit a new emotional bottom and became willing to have that beginner mind again. And of course, that's when I found a program where I was able to go away and get my food clean. And through that program, I learned about vision. And every day, the first vision meeting I got on, they were starting with the doctor's opinion. I mean, talk about coincidence. And no one had ever explained that to me, and no one had ever explained. There wasn't anyone around here to explain the steps to me. And so I'm so thankful. It was perfect timing. I had to do all that other stuff, eat all that food, try all those diets, read all those books. And now I don't go to those books anymore. I go to the big book. And the one thing that's working more for me, better than ever, is continuing to work with other people. I've always got at least two people that I'm taking through the book. And what I love about it is I get to keep reading those words, and I keep getting reminded that I'm not normal when it comes to food, that I have a problem with my thinking and my behavior, and that I need God. So I'm so thankful for this newfound willingness that I've been given and this new pair of glasses that I've been given to see my life through. And as a result of just trying to surrender what I think I'm supposed to do in my life and who I'm supposed to be, I have a lot more serenity than I ever have. And now that I tapped into that serenity, when my behavior causes me to have chaos and insanity in my life, it feels so crummy. I hate it. I have a solution on what to do, and that's by working the steps. So just really, really thankful that I was given this opportunity to live this beautiful life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally P. Ruth M., you're up next, followed by Des M.
Hi, this is Ruth M. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being on the line. I am really grateful to be a part of this program. What sticks out for me is where it talks about the clear-cut directions given, showing how we recovered. I just never got that. I never understood what that meant when they talked about clear-cut directions and how to be recovered. These are followed by 42 personal stories of each individual in the personal stories, describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. And that's what sticks out for me, because for years I was always trying to follow and do it someone else's way. And when I realized that I did it as an individual, with my own point of view and my own understanding of a God, of my understanding, is when I developed my relationship with God personally, and that's when things started to really stick out for me. And what, you know, I am very grateful for the clear cut directions in this program. And you know, I never really followed them. I never really believed that I could be recovered. I'm Ruth M., a recovered compulsive overeater. I have a sponsor, and I have never, ever, ever been that. As long as I've been trying to overcome my disease. And just to be able to realize that I have those clear-cut directions and that I can maintain my recovery by following the steps 10, 11, and 12, staying in them, I'm so glad for that awakening, which I did not get before, because I was so self-righteous and so self-centered, and I didn't believe that this could happen for me. And I'm just grateful that I understand this language today and that I can follow it. And living in life on life's terms, you know, things are not perfect, but I do have this program, and I just want to claim my seat and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Ruth M. Thank you. We have Des M. up next, followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Des M.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. I am super grateful to be on the line this morning. Thank you for everyone's service. And, you know, I just said the prayer that I do normally before I share in face-to-face or phone meetings or throughout the day. But I remember, thy will be done, not mine, thy words be said, not mine. And it's always a little bit easier when things are super going sparkly in my life. And I feel that I'm on the perfect plane, or you know, I don't really feel that, but somewhere inside my ego really like feels comfortable when life looks well. And I know I've heard that on the line before. And in my experience right now, I'm learning, like it says, there's 42 different stories, you know, and I've read these stories before in the back of the book. And it just made me really think today, like, wow, Des, your ego is really big. Like, I have this idea in my head that I need to get this and that God has conditions some days when things aren't going perfect. And when I'm having feelings, I think that my ego wants to tell me, my disease wants to tell me that my higher power only, you know, is there for me when things are going right and when I'm not having these big feelings and when maybe like my perception is that I'm acting like in the right way. And that's not true. And in all of these stories, usually they're the educational variety of spiritual experiences, you know. They all go through their trials and tribulations. We're all working the steps. And I'm really working right now with my higher power to learn that, like I heard on the special edition, which was great this weekend, you know, my God loves me anyhow. And it's really painful to be going through feelings without the food. I've been in, in Vision for like 5 months entirely abstinent, and I'm working with others. And, I've heard that we work with others because, you know, when we're living life on life's terms, sometimes we need those. I need that phone call last night. You know, my sponsee showed up with me and we read the book together and I was reminded of my solution. And the reality is that I still get to work through life. I'm human. And my higher power loves me unconditionally, and I have the tools to use. But just for today, I'm feeling pain, and I'm actually feeling it in this moment because I'm not in the food, and that's beautiful. And I get to share with you all. And I'm just really grateful to be here because I need to, and I need to know that I'm not alone and that being recovered doesn't look it is sparkly every day, but in my human form, like I just get to pick up these tools and do the next right indicated step. The food isn't going to make it better. My higher power will, and my higher power loves me regardless. And thank you so much for letting me share, and I'm very grateful. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Desem. We have Kathleen O up next, and after her share, we're going to take another lineup of people who would like to comment on the first and second paragraphs on page 29, starting with further on clear-cut directions and ending with what has actually happened in their lives. So Kathleen O, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Elaine. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. And these clear-cut directions, they're, you know, the principles of this program, they're the steps, and they're very clear. They're black and white and very clear. And it starts with admitting that we're powerless. You know, I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm a compulsive overeater, that I had to unconditionally surrender that I have no choice or power when it comes to my alcoholic foods. And that idea that I'll ever be normal, it had to be smashed. You know, there had to be no more lurking notion that someday, somehow, I was going to be a normal person. And this is like so basic for me. It's very clear to me because I've never been able to control my food. So clearly I'm powerless. But the disease, you know, when I start getting anxiety or stressed or things aren't going my way, my head will say, hey, you know, you can be normal, you can do this. And it can happen in social situations. So it's really continuing to work in these steps. I can't do it one day and not do it the next day because my brain will you know, the way I've been wired is going to take over and try to tell me that I'm going to be normal and I'm not normal. And we're told we can be agnostic, we can be atheist. I mean, the whole purpose of this is to find a power greater than ourselves that we can connect with and rely on. And, you know, we don't have to call this higher power God. And that's good news for a lot of people who are atheist or agnostic. And it's really, you know, you can call it, say, God or a good orderly direction. We don't have to attach a gender. It can be he or she or no gender. It's whatever we want it to be. And if you ask 100 people on this line what their definition of their higher power is, you'll probably get 100 different definitions. So that's the good news. And, you know, once we find that, we can move on and clean house. We make amends. And, you know, I'm on this line every morning because I can relate to what all of you are saying. And you know, one compulsive overeater talking to another one, the way we are with food, the way we think about food, our behaviors, you know, we can relate. And this is something that normal people kind of scratch their head and go, huh? So I'm on this line to remind myself every day that I'm not normal, because when the disease, when I get anxiety, I need to remember to go to my higher power, to go, you know, call somebody, to do service, to get out of myself, and really to trust in my higher power. And that is the biggest gift of this program, because I don't have to do so much work anymore. I don't have to do so much work anymore when I can rely on my higher power. My higher power does it for me. And thank you, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much. We have time for definitely 4 3-minute shares. And if we go a little short, then we have time for 5 shares. Who'd like to comment on those 2 paragraphs?
Summer D. Summer D.
Summer
D.
Laureen W.
And
boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Summer D was first.
I don't think I did well. All right. So let's see what we got here. This is what I heard. I heard Mo H. I believe I heard Jen P. Lauren W. Freya H. And Sumner G.
It's Summer D. Summer D.
Freedom H.
Thank you.
Oh, it was Freedom H. Freedom H. Okay. All right. So let's go with that. And again, you know, if you want to go a little less than 3 minutes, then everybody is going to get a chance to have a share. Mo H., you're up first, followed by Jen K.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Thank you very much for your service and all those giving service on this line. Welcome to the newcomers. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So it here says further on. So what does it mean further on? It doesn't say in the next chapter or right away. It says further on. And we've got 2 more chapters to read, more about alcoholism and we agnostics, before we even get to the clear-cut directions. And, you know, when I walked into the rooms, I wanted the answer right away. You know, and the 12 steps were up there on the wall, and I just didn't get it. And I wanted the, you know, a food plan or a diet so that I could, you know, get on with it. But, you know, I have to go through every one of these chapters before I get to the clear-cut directions in chapter 5. And those directions show me how to recover one day at a time. And then it says these are followed by 42 personal experiences. And I was thinking this morning, these people didn't have a lot of meetings back then. So those experiences back there were like a person sharing at a meeting their story or how they recovered, because they start out what it's like in when they're doing their story, and they go through what happened, and then they go through how it is today. They share their experience, strength, and hope in those stories. And I learn how those men and women recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind. And then in the second paragraph, it talks about, you know, having our relationship with God and how important that is. And back on in the preface on the last paragraph, it says, from the personal stories, yes, that happened to me. And more important, yes, I felt like that. And most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. So yes, that happened to me. Yes, in my head, I get it. It happened to me. Yes, I felt like that. Oh, that's in my heart. And most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me in my gut. And that didn't happen for me until I was face down this last time into the sugar and desperate to do anything, to follow these clear-cut directions. And thank God I found somebody who was studying this big book and guided me to these vision meetings. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much, Elaine.
Thank you, Mo H. Jen P., you're up next, followed by Laura W. I think I heard a Jen P. And perhaps I didn't. So let's go to Laura W., and followed by Freedom H.
Hi, this is Laureen W.
thank you so much for this reading today. I really appreciate it. And for working the steps, it's been amazing for me, and not just doing the steps the big book way, but also to take any problem I have and work through the steps. Each problem I have, that's my issue. That's what I'm powerless over. And I go through each step and accentuate that problem, and I find a solution by just doing the steps. Also, the second paragraph talks about the different stories, and one story, the career officer, always relates to me because there's a certain paragraph which I'll share that was how I felt as I dieted up to 300 pounds before I came into program. I couldn't understand myself. I was intensely unhappy the whole time, but I didn't seem to be able to do anything about it. And the worst part to me was the realization that this was going to happen again and again, that yo-yo dieting, until I died. I couldn't see that there was any way out of it, and I got absolutely despairing. My only hope was to try and get through what was left of life as best I could, but I could never visualize doing that without drinking, for me, without compulsive overeating. That's how I felt, and I never thought I was desperate enough. How desperate do I have to be? You know, I was desperate, and only through OA, doing the steps, and also Vision for You has brought me to where I am today, which is 27 years later, and eating in a healthy body. My doctor tells me you have a healthy body. You eat healthy. My granddaughter reinforces that the best thing I've showed her in life through these 8 years is that I eat healthy and I exercise. Boy, that is a gift. That never would have been 27 years ago at 300 pounds. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lauren W. Freedom H, you're up next, followed by Sumner D.
Thank you for everyone who does service. These steps teach me how to develop a relationship with God. I gave food all power over me. It ruled me. I literally lived to eat. That was my only happiness in life. It was like eating cactus, though. It was killing me slowly. But now, because of being surrendering to God and to my higher power, I'm able to slowly begin to be restored. My health is coming back to me. And abstinence has given me power. I feel free. I feel stronger. I feel happier being abstinent. When the disease had me and I allowed it to rule my life, I was enslaved to it, and it owned me. And I'm thankful now to this 12-step program and to God, because the process is a lot of patience. This process takes a lot of patience. And every day I just surrender my food to God. I can't do it alone. I've tried and I just fall on my face. And it's just so painful when I'm in that disease. It's just insanity. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Freedom H. Sumner D, I think you were what I thought was Jen T. So you are up next. Thank you so much. Sumner D?
Hi there. This is Summer D from SoCal. Just to clarify, I do spell my name S-O-M-M-E-R, and my last initial is D as in Delta. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the call this morning with 178 other fellows from all over the country and maybe the world. This paragraph really is very powerful for me. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language from his own point of view. I hear a lot of tradition four in there, and tradition four is about autonomy. And autonomy is the act of being able to self-regulate and self-govern. Unfortunately, I was born into a situation where I'm an only child, and I do want to comment that, you know, only children have unique experiences that other people can't really relate to. So I just want to put that out there. If you are an only child, you know, I'm extending myself, because there is a vast difference between the things that only children experience and then those that don't. But getting back to the paragraph, you know, I wasn't an individual. My personal experience never mattered. And I certainly didn't have the freedom to say anything in my own language. But I'm finding that now. I'm getting my voice. And, you know, my relationship with God, I'm so grateful for the OA Vision community, because it's just exploding. I mean, I'm getting calls and texts every day. I kind of hesitate to share, because I'm just so overwhelmed with the love and the connection with women. I mean, my mom and I were enemies my whole life. I've been afraid of women. But anyway, aside from that, so my relationship with God, I made a faith-based decision 15 plus years ago that brought me into the rooms of recovery. I had no idea the amount of denial and how much trauma I had around food, not being fed, being fed bad food, moldy food. Then Dad, you know, here, cookies, cake, candy, ice cream. Those were my food groups. So I'm just grateful that the God of my understanding today, you know, he took me in the opposite direction. He had me become a health and fitness expert. He had me helping other people. And you know, that's a gift. That is such a gift of my relationship with God. And you know, having grown up trying to fit into everyone else's mold, I'm supposed to do your food plan, or how do you work your program? I need to work it that way. And that has held me back so much. You know, I had an amazing outreach call yesterday with a fellow, and I heard one thing that completely, well, I heard a lot of things, but one thing that completely shifted my perspective. I was told recovery is first, exercise is second, and everything else is that. And I that really hit me. And as I was hanging up with her, I got a text and a telephone call from just different people from a share that I did a couple of days ago. So I do welcome your comments. I do welcome your texts. I do welcome your telephone calls. Just know that I am in the process of trying to manage all of the overflow of love. I will get back to you. It just may take a few days. So thank you so much. And again, I am Summer D in Southern California. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you so much. We have time for a 2-minute share if someone would like to take it.
It's Margo. I'll take it.
This is Kathy Jo P.
Oh, I have Margo first. Kathy Jo, thank you so much.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Margo P. from Florida. I just wanted to be on the call, and my sponsor keeps suggesting to be on the call, to do the work, to do the drill. And I'm glad that the paragraph, everyone's here. I'm starting to come in like I have opinion. I can share. I can, you know, it was taking me as a child that I was not able to express my feeling or talk at the point of my life with my food. But today I have this drill, that I have the program, I have the tools, I have a sponsor. So it's just coming back in this soft step of the big book and listen to everybody. Thank you very much. And I'll pass.
Well, Kathy Jo, if you'd like to take just a minute, you're more than welcome.
Did you just ask me to share? This is Kathy Jo P.
Yeah, we just have a minute or two.
Okay, Kathy Jo P, recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. And these paragraphs remind me that through this work, my ego becomes smashed. And the reason, I once said that I need to have a funeral for my ego. And my hope and prayer every day is that my ego be smashed so that I can have access to the power of God, so that I can be free. And I want every day to remain teachable and willing to do the work that I'm directed to do here, so that I can have what all of you have. And I'm remembering when I first came in, I reached out to a fellow when I was distraught and very upset, and I started to tell her everything wrong with my life. And she interrupted me and said, Kathy Jo, when you call people, I invite you to ask them how the promises are working in their life. And she shared with me about the promise that we shall know peace. And if you want to know more about that, look me up and I'll tell you that story, because we need to hear the recovery. We need to hear the change. And that's what we are hungry for, not the food. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I needed to hear that too. Thanks so much, Kathy Jo P and everybody who has shared today. We're now going to transition the meeting and read from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will P.S. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Elaine. This is P.S. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.